Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. The Sweet 16 of the NCAA Men's and Women's Division I Basketball Tournament is underway. And in between the timeouts, NCAA commercials like this one pitch a vision of college athletics as a pathway to opportunity.
It's not about where you were born or whether you're rich, poor, or in the middle. No matter what you play, if you have the skill and drive to succeed in school and in sports, we'll provide the opportunity.
It's a nice ad there, but a new study from the site The Undefeated finds that that promise is increasingly untrue. Less than 1 in 5 players in college sports are first-generation college students, and that number is dropping by the year. Tom Ferry is the executive director of the Sports and Society Program at the Aspen Institute and a reporter at ESPN. He led the study, and he says that changing expectations on campus and in youth sports are undermining what the NCAA claims to be its core values.
What we found through our research looking at NCAA surveys of college athletes is that most of them actually come from the middle class. Kids from first-generation homes, meaning neither parent had attended college, that they're actually pretty rare. I mean, less than 1 out of every 5 or so kids at the college level is from that type of family.
So is it the case that the phenomenon of the first-generation kid to go to college and his or her family who gets a scholarship, that phenomenon was never as common as we thought, or is it that it's just diminishing?
Well, we don't have great data on what happened in the 50s and 70s and 80s or even the early 2000s. What we do know is that the NCAA has conducted these surveys of 20,000 or so college athletes in 2010 and then 2014. And in 2010, they were surprisingly rare. And by 2014, or actually 2015, it had gone down in just about every single sport, the percentage has.
Is it that kids from disadvantaged homes or backgrounds are having less access to the pipeline? Are they getting edged out by kids from better economic circumstances, or is the denominator changing? Are there fewer first-generation kids who are trying to do this through sports?
Yeah, there are a couple things. Number one is the NCAA and its member institutions have introduced more rigorous academic standards. So to play college sports, to get into some of these universities, even with special admission type of criteria, it's gotten tougher over the past, 10 to 20 years. Colleges now can get punished. A program like the University of Connecticut, which won a men's D1 national basketball championship a few years ago, got banned from the NCAA tournament because they brought in too many of these kids. So coaches now will still take that chance on the occasional Allen Iverson type who comes out of that really disadvantaged environment, but they won't load up their entire recruiting class. The second thing that's happening, Todd, is that youth sports has changed in this country. Families are chasing the athletic scholarship starting when kids are around age 5, 6, 7 years old. As soon as they show some athletic aptitude, once that happens, they start putting them on these travel teams, which cost money, and getting them the private trainers, which cost money, and going to out-of-state tournaments and everything else. Well, a lot of kids from disadvantaged homes simply cannot afford access to that pipeline. And that pipeline is where the college scouts live. They don't recruit at the high school level anymore. They don't, follow one kid who's playing for one particular school. They want to go to these tournaments where all the best kids are. The economic barriers to entry for the kid who's from the truly disadvantaged home have risen.
It's shocking that we've driven competition, even for college scholarships, which were meant to be a way to an education for a kid with some talent, down to the 7, 6, 5-year-old level. It's astounding.
Yeah, it is. But it's the way America works, right? I mean, you tell parents, only 1 out of every 100 kids at the high school level goes on to play D1 basketball or otherwise. And what they hear is, well, I better get started earlier. It makes them say, well, I guess I can't wait until my kid is 14, 15, 16 to introduce opportunities to them. I need to get them slotted early. I need to get them trained up. And off we go.
Is there any part of this that actually shows some economic progress? I mean, that there is a growing black middle class in this country, and those young African-American athletes would also have access to better education, better sports, better pipelines at a younger age than their counterparts from other economic situations. And if there were more of them, that might be sort of a good thing.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Let's take a look at Georgetown, right? Georgetown in the 1980s and 90s was known for the kids who were from those disadvantaged homes. John Thompson recruited them, celebrated them, made a big deal about making sure they had a place on campus. So the Allen Iversons, the Patrick Ewings, the Michael Grahams, I mean, kids from really, really tough situations. Well, you look at the Georgetown roster now, and it's, you know, it's a couple of sons of NBA millionaires, you know, Alonzo Mourning's kid and George Mirasan's kid. Just about every other kid went to a private high school. So either they were born into advantage or they showed some potential really early and some private high school got them slotted. And so they accrued educational advantage, which allowed them to have the college sports opportunity.
If it's harder for them to get into the Georgetowns to play basketball, into the Michigans to play football, where are they going?
Well, I'd say a lot of them just simply get eliminated early. They don't have access to the pipeline. You know, the kid might have shown potential when he or she was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, but they couldn't quite get on one of those teams, or maybe they're a late bloomer. If they do stay part of the system, some of it goes to junior colleges, or increasingly they're going to HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. You know, while the percentage of first gens has gone down in just about every sport, HBCUs over the past 5 years, it's actually grown. They're making more room for that kid. And frankly, the HBCUs are delivering on this idea that college sports is a tool of opportunity and educational attainment.
And, you know, Tom Ferry, it does make me wonder, look, is it time to have economic background a factor in athletic scholarships as well?
I mean, it's an interesting thought, right? I mean, because all athletic scholarships are essentially merit-based. If you can play the game, then we want you on our university. I mean, I think there's a good argument to be made that all athletic scholarships should be need-based. If college sports are truly going to be a tool of opportunity and educational advancement for kids who otherwise weren't headed to college, maybe we need to think about some structural changes in the nature of the athletic scholarship.
Tom Ferry, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tom Ferry is Executive Director of the Sports and Society Program at the Aspen Institute, and he's a reporter on ESPN.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.